Hi, beautiful people. I hope you are all good. Today, I'm a bit, I don't know if I'm tired or I'm feeling lazy or I'm just in a very calm, relaxed mood. I don't know which one it is, but there's a feeling of not doing anything. I don't feel like doing anything today. But I cannot disappoint you, people. So here I am, coming to do the best today would allow me to do, so that you guys can have a good listen. And anyways, today we have, I'm sure you guessed right, Miss Na. Hello, girl.
Hello.
What's up?
I'm okay. What's up with you?
Like I said, I've already said what's up with me. Kilo de.
Sorry, it's not very loud on this end, so...
Should I shout?
That's better, but you can't keep that decibel up. Don't worry. I can hear better now. At the start, it was a bit spotty. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Miss Na wants to annoy me, but I say no to her annoyance. She already knows the mood. She's still asking me what's up. Kilo de, kilo she. That's my new thing to see you guys. Anyways, so today, Miss Na is addicted to me, as many of you are. So we're talking about addictions. Miss Na, it will surprise you guys. Okay, no, let me just... First of all, the question is, what is an addiction? Like, what kind of things can we get addicted to? And from the research I did, we can actually become addicted to anything that has the potential to relieve stress or discomfort, especially if the gratification is immediate. So you can even get addicted to tea, even the ones without caffeine, because maybe when you drink it, you feel so relaxed and what gets addicted to it. So as far as targeting instant gratification and it's releasing you from stress or something, you can easily get addicted to it. So that's... A lot of people have the misconception that drugs are like the easiest and biggest thing to get addicted to. But I'm here to tell you, no sis, no bro. It's actually a whole lot of things. Okay. The first one I'll talk about is something I think Miss Na is addicted to.
This will be interesting.
You can actually get addicted to lip balms.
Yeah, I think... For some of them, right, they don't even, they do it in such a way that it keeps your, like, lips moisturized only whilst you're using it. So the minute you stop, nah, you need, like, your lips go back to being ashy and crusty.
So it's like a marketing strategy.
Pardon?
So it's like a marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yeah.
It's early then. So you don't think you're addicted. You just think you're using those products. Is that it?
To be honest,
you've never
I don't
really
like it when my lips look crusty, so I can't tell.
Yeah, but
I really don't like when they look crusty. I don't like when anyone's lips look crusty. Like,
I don't think that's actually...
Pardon?
I don't think anyone likes that, actually. It's not pleasant.
Some people just walk around with it all the time.
No, like, you know, if let's say my lips are crusty and I can't see it, it probably will not cross my mind.
No, that, like, you feel that thing. You feel it.
No, that's very deep. That's like Hamasan level shit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, let's say your lips are like just normal dry. Your mind is not there. Blah, blah, blah. Like, if you can't see, like, sometimes it can happen to you, right? But you will not like to see it on other people. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the person that keeps it crushed. I'm talking about other people seeing that it's like that. It's not pleasant to look at. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I was very surprised to learn that people can actually get addicted to lip balms, because it's like the barest minimum. It's like the last thing I would think anyone can get addicted to. But yeah. Another one that was interesting for me that people get addicted to is teeth whitening.
Ooh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I was really shocked. So, like, I'm saying all the things that were shocking me first before it comes to the normal ones that we all know. And it actually has a name. And it's called glitorexia.
Neutrorexia.
No, bleach, like bleach. Bleachorexia, so like anorexia.
Yeah,
I was very shocked to hear all this. Like, I mean, to read all this, because I'm like, what? Teeth whitening? Like, I know people have been whitening their teeth from time to time, but, and you know, from what I was reading, you know, the strips that make your teeth white and everything. I mean, they said that's fine and everything, but some people actually addicted to the laser one, where they actually have to go and sit in the chair for them to use the laser to bite their teeth and all that. I'm like, how do you get addicted to that?
If, you know, I think, I kind of understand. It's so maybe we can say, yeah, maybe I'm addicted to lip gloss, because you know, when you see that thing and it's looking a little less than perfect, you're like, nope, it's time for a redo.
And you know,
so sometimes it's not even looking imperfect, there's nothing wrong with how it looks, but your mind has.
Yeah,
your mind basically wants it. Yeah,
some of the things I read were saying that it is a brain disease that makes you do things compulsively and over again without you sort of like lip balm. Like, this is not detriment, it's one of the addictions you don't have to get rid of, actually. So there are some addictions you have to try and get rid of, and there are others you don't have to try and get rid of, like lip balm. If you have a lip balm addiction, it's not a big deal, you can live with it. Do you get it?
Yeah.
So but the definition I'm talking about right now says that, like, you do it regardless whether it will cause you harm or not. So like the teeth whitening thing, if you continue to do it too many times over time, your teeth becomes overly sensitive, which is not too good for your teeth. So yeah. Another surprising one, which blew me off. Like, these are the three surprising ones I chose. This one blew me off. Like, I was just like, are you serious? Makes more sense now. Compulsive lying. Compulsive lying is addictive, guys. Miss Na, are you surprised by that? So it's something you knew.
Pardon?
Are you surprised that compulsive lying is something you can get addicted to, or is something you knew?
Yeah, it's actually, you know what? On the one hand, yes, but on the other, no.
Let me read something I wrote on it from the research. So it says, compulsive lying, just like any other addiction, may make you feel a sense of reward after telling half-truths or bona fide yarns. The pleasure gleaned from lying causes euphoric physiological changes in the brain and body, making the act dangerously appealing and extremely addictive. Once the compulsions and cravings kick in, lies are fabricated without provocation.
So, you know, it kind of makes sense to me, because a lot of the people that I know that are liars, most of the time, it's just unprovoked. Like, no one has asked you any question.
Yeah.
Any story, nothing. The person is just, oh, let me lie to these people. You know, and the stories, some of the people, no, in fact, most of the people who have lied, like, who lie like that, their stories are so out there that you're like, what's going on?
Exactly.
You know, because it's not even believable.
Yeah, it's like, was this lie even necessary in the first place?
Exactly.
Did I ask you anything? So, guys, like, if you have a friend,
I've left that in the draft, sweetheart.
Yeah, like, sometimes it's not even my business. Like, so, guys, if you know anybody who lies, and you feel like it's unnecessary, and if the person just starts an addiction, and if you're that close to the person, you should try and help the person, because they are describing it as a disease, the addiction as a disease. Because sometimes it's even embarrassing for me to hear people, like, saying things like, come to lie to me. The fact that it is unprovoked, like, if I ask you a question and you lie, it makes more sense to me. But the unprovoked lies, oh my God. I was so blown away to see that it was an addiction. And it made a lot of sense with how some people I know have behaved in past times. So, I mean, there was some enlightenment right there. Okay, now, Miss Na, to the normal things that we all know people can easily get addicted to. Should I say I'm a foodie or a foodian? Or I'm a food enthusiast. I don't know which one. I like food. I'm not addicted to food, because I can actually go days without eating if I don't feel anything. But I like the taste of food. But people are actually addicted to food.
So that one, what? How does it work? They're literally always eating.
Yeah. So I know there's a condition where when people are stressed and stuff, they eat. And mm-hmm. if you are going by the definition I mentioned earlier, where you can get access to anything that has the potential to release stress or discomfort, actually the gratification is immediate. It will make more sense in that light. That so once they are stressed, when they are eating, it's like their mind goes off whatever is stressing them. They feel relaxed and whatever, and then you know they start to eat.
So by that vein, would we say that someone who maybe turns to like maybe Netflix or something when they're a little stressed, they have a little downtime, and then they want to ease their stress, would that make them also?
So yes, you can actually get addicted to Netflix. I would have come there. You know how people can get addicted to social media?
Yeah.
It's all in the same life. You can get addicted to Netflix. You can get addicted to social media. You can get addicted to your smartphone. Some people are addicted to their phones, not necessarily social media. They're just addicted to the fact that they can hold their phone, go on different apps and stuff. It's not even about the apps they have or anything. They are literally addicted to the phone itself. They cannot even go a second without not seeing the phone.
Yeah,
because once you take your phone, a lot of things are there to distract you. So if you're feeling stressed or whatever, so it's like in their mind, their phone is a stress reliever. Do you get it? And Netflix can do it too. And so food does that for some people too. And that leads to some people becoming obese. I don't know, a lot of the people who are obese are actually food addicts, like those who are overly obese that get into the Guinness Book of Records and stuff. When you hear some of their stories, they're actually addicted to food in the sense that they cannot stop eating, and it all started from I'm stressed, only food can help me, then they'll go and eat. Then you know it, you know, it's like an addiction grows over time before you realize you can't, right?
Yeah, so definitely.
Like maybe once in a while when I'm stressed, maybe I'll say, oh, let me buy this and eat, then I'll feel better. But I hardly get stressed, so it's a once in a while thing. But imagine if your stress is rampant. You keep getting stressed because the kind of work you do, the kind of relationship you are in. I don't know why you subject yourself to that, but yes, and all that. So it becomes like every time you are stressed, every time you are eating, even when you come out of that stress and you're okay, you are used to eating.
Yeah, used to it, yeah.
Exactly. So you cannot go without eating the way you so I feel like that's what happens with the food thing. That's the same way to happen with Netflix. That's the same way to happen with your phone. That's the same way to happen with social media. Because if when someone annoys you, you just take your phone and go on social media to see, watch funny videos, before you realize you're addicted to funny videos.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go a day without not watching a funny video. And it's all boils down to our brain and how our brain works. Whatever you train your brain to do, that's what it will learn. So if you train your brain to do certain things in a certain routine way, well, your brain would sort of adapt to it. It's even a possibility that I can get addicted to doing my podcast, in the sense that if, Ms. Na, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
If I start doing the podcast only at times where I feel stressed. And once I do the podcast, I feel relieved and stuff. Mm-hmm. Every time I feel stressed, I feel like I'm looking for something to come and see on my podcast. And with time, it will become a habit I've developed when I'm stressed. And then people get stressed. Like, even sometimes the smallest of things can stress you. And once you get stressed, you cannot go off that thing. You cannot deal with the stress without that thing. You're sort of addicted. Right? Yeah. So that's how easy you can get addicted.
Yeah.
So it's not even drugs alone.
Okay. So because, please finish.
No, please continue. Please say what you're going to say.
I wanted to ask that with this information that we have now, can we then say, okay, instead of doing something negative or mindless when these stressful things happen, I'll use it to do something good. So you decide that every time someone stresses you out or you're feeling down in the dumps or something, you're going to help somebody. You're going to try to make someone smile. You're going to try to make someone laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible to just keep doing that and it becomes like a part of you that maybe you're not addicted to? Or do you think it can get to the point where now, you know, you are, if it's good deeds, you are just, you're kind of forcing it. like, it's not, how will I put it? It's like you're looking for an opportunity. No, you might even go to the point of creating something bad, making something bad happen just so that you can do your good deed and feel like
it's
okay again.
It's an addiction. It becomes something you can't go without. Like, once you cannot manage your stress without a particular thing, you're addicted to it. When I'm stressed...
But I'm saying that, can we use that addiction formula for good? Or do you think even with that, then it becomes like a mindless thing that you are doing? So maybe...
I mean...
You know how people talk with drugs? People talk about how, you know, someone will steal from their parents so that they can go and buy more drugs. Does it become a situation where... maybe you intentionally,
mm-hmm.
I'm using a very, you know, childish example, but
mm-hmm.
right now the person in question's thing is to do good deeds when they feel stressed and they're mm-hmm. feeling stressed, but there's no good deed for them to do. So then they intentionally put like a banana peel on the floor so that someone will slip so that they can help that person.
How
do you think? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That do you think it can be managed? That
it's okay. With the example you are giving, Kra, it's slipping into psychopathic behavior, in my opinion. Because mm-hmm. now you want to create bad things just so that you can be a savior.
Yeah. Which there's no bad thing happening.
Yes. That makes you a psychopath. Look, I'm sure you've watched this. I don't know about others, but guys, it's a good watch on Netflix. It's called You. Yeah. And in You, there's this guy who has mm-hmm. mommy issues. And now he feels like he tried, and his stepdad was beating his mom a lot, and then he kills the stepdad when he was very young, like maybe 10 years. And now he's grown, and when he sees a woman he's in love with, he wants to get close to her. But once he gets close to you and you don't want his help, because his mom gave him out for adoption once he killed the man, because the mom didn't want him again. Once you don't want his help, he kills you. That's madness. Yeah. That's a serious mental health issue, right? So if your addiction is leading you to do these kinds of things, like, it's getting more serious. It's getting bigger than addiction. It's becoming something else. So once you start killing someone for drugs, you're a murderer. As soon as it becomes something you keep doing because you feel like every time you need drugs, if you don't kill someone to steal their money, you cannot get the drugs. You've literally become a murderer. If you are doing it in a particular way or style and there's a pattern, you're actually becoming a sociopath, a psychopath, whichever one it is. So it's the same one. It doesn't matter if you are doing good deeds. Once you start creating bad things to happen so that you can do your good deeds, I mean, that's even pointless. The whole
What I'm asking is that, do you think it can be managed so that it doesn't get to that point? Or do you think, because it's an addiction, it's very likely that I can get to that point.
Yes, exactly.
There's no...
That is exactly it. Because it's an addiction.
Okay.
There's no management. Addiction, like, if you could manage addictions that easily, then nobody will have any addiction. Because, I'll not be relying so much on drugs for it to get to a point where I cannot do without it. I'll not be relying so much on this to get to a point that I cannot do without it. That's its management. Do you get it? But so addiction is more or less when you pass the threshold of management, basically. Are you feeling?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been doing some very heavy hitting. Let's go to porn and sex. Let's do some light lifting. Porn and sex. This one actually sort of surprised me a bit. Those who know me will know why my surprise. But after thinking about it outside of myself, it makes sense, if you get what I mean. So someone addicted to sex is called a nymphomaniac. Miss Na, what do you think? Why would you think someone would get addicted to sex?
I mean, honest, the definition you gave at the start has made this work easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
The instant gratification, yeah.
And and also, so guys, you know that it's not like when you're addicted to something, you never regret. So actually, like, as soon as you finish doing the thing, you regret. Like, it's like the instant gratification comes with instant regrets. So it's like, let's say if I it is maybe sex or whatever, once you finish having the sex and you were feeling good within the time that you were having the sex and everything, as soon as you are done, you start regretting. They're like, why did I even do this with this kind of person? Why did I even? But tomorrow you'll be right doing it to someone else. Then you go to, it's like a pattern. You keep doing it like that.
That also makes sense.
Yeah. Like all that we've been saying so far, it's not. So like I said, like what the question you were asking, people do have casual sex all the time from what I'm learning about you 21st century babies. And
I'm actually a 20th century baby.
I don't care.
If you deep it. Most of your listeners are probably 20th century babies if you deep it.
Okay, guys. I said you guys are 20th century babies. So you guys know what you've been doing. Some of you have been telling me. So you know I know that this is what has been going on. So don't pretend. Don't act like you are like me. Don't pretend. So they've been having sex casually with different partners. Fine. That's what they subscribe to. Right now, they are managing it. They can go days, weeks, months, even years without doing it if they want to, right? Mm-hmm. The moment there's a day, it becomes a habitual thing that you cannot go without. To the extent that if you don't have it, you rape someone, then we are having the problem. The problem has started arising. You get it?
Yeah.
I mean, liking to have sex. You can like to have sex. It's not a crime, right? Mm-mm. Because you can manage it if you're not dating. Mm-hmm. Some people say, if I'm not dating, I don't have sex. If I don't meet someone who wants to have sex with me, I will not have sex. Some people say, depending on the number of people that propose sex to me, I'm going to have sex with them. But once, if no one proposes sex to you, you still want to have the sex, or you don't have a partner, you still want to have the sex continuously, like you don't care who it is, whatever, then the day that you can't get it, it's like you have to kill or whatever, hurt somebody to get it. Then, guys, if you are reaching addiction, people are always saying, why would you rape someone? That, it's a mental issue, and we are failing to recognize that.
You know, with a lot of things, I can say it's a mental issue. But with rape, I find people just want to do what they want to do and act like that. No, it's a mental.
But you know what I'm saying? It's a mental issue.
No, do you know why I don't want to say it's a mental issue? Because then they get off and say, oh, there's a problem with me. No. The problem with you is that you don't... I mean, of course, I might be wrong.
That's problem. No, I don't have zero tolerance for... Issue in the sense. Not all mental issues will give you liberation.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's another thing. And I don't think rape is one of those mental issues where you get liberated from because you were not thinking straight. Because mental issues can also mean like we're just not thinking straight in that particular time, but you knew exactly what you were doing. You decided not to think straight. Why I'm saying it's a mental issue is because I'm like, so many women around, and you choose, especially for those who feel like I'm chasing this girl, she's not minding me, she's not giving it up, whatever it is in their heads, they decide to rape the person. I'm like, why would you, like, there are so many other women who would have probably given it up or whatever the phrase is, very easily and all that. So what is your, like, why? What made you feel like you definitely have to, it must be this one person? Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Because if I'm understanding the concept of sex well, I mean... I don't know, but it doesn't make sense to me that you feel like if you don't rape the person, you'll not be okay. Does the rape even... I don't even think that if the other party is not in acceptance of whatever you are doing. I don't even know how satisfying that is for you, but, well, I don't know. Honestly, you know,
sometimes, for me, I think it's the entitlement. People feel entitled to other people's bodies. Some people, when they are rejected...
Mm-hmm.
That's when they realize that, like, hey, this person could have said no, you know, girls and boys alike. And then for some people, they just take their L and then they move. But some people are like, nah, why do you have to say no? What is the reason? And then they decide they will take what they want anyways. Is that not me? I see like stealing.
Yes,
no, not in that regard at all, because stealing, sometimes you can have a reason. If you're if you don't take this bread, your whole family will die right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, but then it's like the people who are just stealing because they want what you have. They want to have it. They want it for themselves. Exactly.
So that brings us to the kleptomaniacs. And we all know that that is a mental issue. So you argument.
No, but then there are also people who steal and it's not klepto.
It's what?
They're just poor. Nothing's working out for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying, that so those people have like legit reasons, all those stealings, but they have legit reasons. But you are saying that like for like rape or something, this is just stealing because you feel like, well, I want it and I'll have it anyways, whether I need it or not. You get it. And that's
why I didn't say whether I need it or not. It's like, I want what you have, so I'm coming to take it. I'm not going to work for it. I'm coming to take it. I feel like maybe there's a select few of people whose brains don't work, so they can't compute consent and those things. But for the majority of people, it's the one, the power and authority that they get to exercise. And also the fact that someone told them no, and they're like, why would you tell me no?
I watched something. You know the pedophiles, right?
Yeah.
Guys, for those who might not know, pedophiles are those who want to have sex with children. So this guy was running from the police because the police were doing some investigation and then they wanted him. And so finally the police got in, they're like, why is he running? Well, apparently he has like pedophile tendencies. And it's his niece and nephew that he has never really been around children, so he didn't know. But his sister now has kids, right? And when he's around them, these are the edges he is getting. So he tried to cut his penis off.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to. And he nearly died from it. And the police didn't understand. And he didn't want to tell anyone that this is what he was going through, right? And the police didn't understand. So the police tried to interrogate him, that because attempted murder, attempted suicide, and because to them, when he went to hospital and they found him dead, to them it was attempted suicide, because cutting your penis off is like almost killing yourself, because blood and everything, losing blood, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't want to tell them why and everything. So they kept interrogating. Then one day he just like blabbed it out that, well, this is the issue. And he cannot do that to his sister's kids. And like, or any kid for that matter. And he cannot seem to get it out of his mind that this is what he wants to do. Right? So he cut it off, and the police told him that they'll find him help, like an institution and whatever. And he was taking some drugs. He was taking some drugs to suppress his thinking so that he doesn't think about it or something of the sort. And the police told them that they'll find him. In the end, he committed suicide. Like, he actually killed himself because he felt like nothing could help him. Everybody was just talking in his opinion. So this is someone that has a clear mental issue with no fault of his. And he clearly doesn't want it. So that's what I'm saying.
That one, yeah, I do not doubt it. Maybe it's wrong for me to stand here and say that most of them is not a mental disease. But I believe that there's like
There's definitely that 1 or 2% people who are doing it because they feel like they can do whatever they like. And they know that.
Yeah, I feel like that one was the majority. I feel like that, it's like how I say that human beings like to do things to see how far they what they can get away with, you know, and that's usually the majority. But that is, you know, that could be my
but what you are saying
also by my this thing against it speaking.
What I can say is, unless we have like a proper study on it and everything, we will not know where the scale is.
Yeah.
Heading, yeah, because I feel like so far when they say someone has raped someone, we'll just say, oh, bad person, this, send them to jail, boom, which is the order of the day. So no one has actually ever looked at it like a mental health issue or anything for us to actually be now studying them and whatever to see that, oh, is this actually intentional or no, there's something actually wrong with this person and all that. So we have that kind of study. I feel like we both might be wrong.
I think there are studies like that.
Okay, then till I look into it, I will not know where the scale is heading more, unless you have looked into it and you know what you're asking.
I mean, this is just my personal bias.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this is imagining that it could actually be a mental health issue. I would never stand for it. If I was a judge, no, I don't even say this, but like rape is definitely a no-no, whether it's a man doing it or a woman doing it.
Yeah.
Because it does a lot to the person on the receiving end. And it's not good things. There are so many people who give their consent. And there are some you can't even pay for. Why rape someone? Period.
I just really dislike rape. I'm sorry. Because I remember a couple of days ago, a friend sent me a video. And there was like a Ghana woman like at the market talking about how she, when she's feeling it there, she just like start touching her. She didn't say whether it was her husband. So like, let's say her partner or whoever is with her. I don't know. She doesn't care about you and what you want. She's just doing her thing. And you know, she was saying it in a very guy way and it looked funny. Like, that's why the person sent it to me, so I would laugh. But I'm like, I can't laugh at this. It's not funny. What if the person...
No, to be honest,
it's no very disturbing.
One, there's no consent. Yeah. You are more or less ripping the person, guys. To be honest, I'm very sorry, but that's the tea. Don't say she's my girlfriend.
A lot of people don't want to hear it because they sleep with girls without their consent, or they get dubious consent. So when you're saying it, they want like, hey, me, I'm not part. You are part. Shut up. You are part.
You are really part. You in the blue shirt. You are
part. You are on blue. On blue, blue.
On blue,
you
blue.
Are part.
The one in the striped white shirt. You are really part. And do you
know, nice.
The one looking behind, as if he's not part. We know you are part.
It's you.
Do you know, I was going to say something. My line, my train of thought has been cut. I hope I remember. But yeah, you are all part, because once there's no... I remember what I was going to say. When we were doing spousal rape in JHS, I remember so well, some people were like, how are you raping your own husband or wife? It doesn't make sense. Are they not married? Oh, yes, you can rape your husband or wife. The fact that we are married doesn't mean I always be in the mood or I want
to. In the mood, yeah.
So if I say no, today I will not do, and you say because I'm your husband or because I'm your wife, you must do. And
you have to do. Mm-mm.
You've raped me, period. Yeah. And I can actually send you to court for that shit. And so, guys, this is even marriage. So don't say because someone is your girlfriend or something.
As in...
It's okay. Right?
And I hope you're... Yes. You're very right. You're very right. I hope you're listening. You people. Don't go and stand somewhere and say you are no part. You are part.
Okay, now back to addictions. One of the addictions that I don't know if people should get rid of or whatever is exercise. Exercising is can become an addiction for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this friend, or I knew this person, whose auntie has like a gym. And so I was going through her page to see, like, you know, how far it's going and everything. And one of the things I saw on her page, which sort of made me think when I was doing like researching for this podcast, and I saw exercises could be an addiction, is she said, lazy people who want to have an excuse will call it an addiction. And after doing this, I'm like, Miss Nana, first of all, what do you think about that statement?
I think that, first of all, it's very toxic how people who work out, sometimes you people who don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, oh, you're lazy. You don't want to improve upon your life. What if I'm okay with being the way I am? Maybe my stomach is big, my this is that. Like, if it's not affecting me health-wise, what is wrong with it if I'm not fit? If I'm not toned? If I can't, you know, run up? What is it harming? You know, that's first of all. So that statement is kind of problematic to me. It's also problematic how sometimes people... Pardon?
I'm trying to see if I can find it and read exactly what...
Yeah.
But yeah, please continue.
Yeah, and sometimes I find it problematic how those who don't work out also view, like this thing that she said, that the thing that the post said, that lazy people, not lazy people, but let's say people who don't want to work out would call it an addiction. Like, yeah, maybe I like going to the gym to improve upon my body and you don't. Why do you have to call it an addiction? Have we reached that point? So it's not... I don't know. I don't know if I've actually answered your question. All I've actually expressed is how I don't like how people talk on people's...
I hope I do find it.
Schedules and mental behaviors.
But yeah, so I can't remember the exact comment, but it was something like what I said. And my mind went straight to that thing I saw when I saw that exercising was an addiction. In the sense, I'm like, so one of the things I'm seeing is I don't feel like working out, but I'll do it anyway. There's something I'm actually reading right now from her post, right? I'm like, is it that exercise is one of the things you don't need to, it's one of the addictions you don't need to get over, or it actually can become an addiction that can become detrimental to actually your health? Because I think it can become.
It can. Yeah. Well, I think with all these things, when it gets to the point that, I think with all these things, you just need good people around you. Because with some of the addictions, it's not anything.
Mm-hmm.
It can, obviously, like, from what we've discovered, it can go a certain way that, okay, now this is becoming detrimental. Mm-hmm. But, like, working out, even when you don't feel like,
mm-hmm.
most of the time, it's, I don't see it as an addiction. I don't think that's an addiction, because maybe laziness, you're feeling lazy, and that's why you're like, I don't want to do it.
Okay, I found it.
Guys,
I found it, and it wasn't addiction. It says, obsessed is a word the lazy use to describe the dedication. Obsession. So now that brings me to, can we say addicted people are obsessed?
Yeah, you can, but it's also a very blanket statement to make, because if, let's use like maybe three people, one who works out every day, one who works out like three times in a week, and one who doesn't work out at all. The one who doesn't work out at all could find it excessive that someone is working out every day just because someone else is working out three times a week. But it doesn't mean that it's excessive. Maybe the one who works out three times a week will do like mega sessions, you know, and then the one who works out every day, maybe the person will do like 30 minutes. So in the end, maybe they are doing the same amount of work, you know. So it's a bit of a blanket statement to make. You can't just stand there and then say it's obsessive. Have you gone into the nitty-gritty? Is it actually obsessive? Or are you saying it's obsessive because you don't do it? Because you think it's more than it should be done?
Because her statement, like, so I was wrong to say she said addiction. She actually says she said obsessed. Okay. And she said lazy is a word the lazy use to describe their dedication. But no, I'm not lazy if I don't want to exercise.
Yes, exactly. That one too is a fact. That's what I was saying, that I don't like that toxic thingy that people that work out like to use to describe people that don't work out. Just because I don't want to work out doesn't make me lazy.
Yeah, I just don't want to work out, period.
Yeah.
And people find this very, some way that I'm very touchy on the subject of the time I want to eat and all that. It's because I hate it. Like, I don't know, how is it your business? Who told you that I don't love myself enough to know when I'm supposed to eat and when I'm not supposed to eat? If I'm not exercising, do you know, I know some people who the doctor has prescribed them to not do certain things in the form of exercise. So what works for you might not necessarily be working for
me. Yeah, exactly. It's true. Even with exercising, there are some people that certain moves work for them because maybe they build muscle easily. But for someone, so, you know, if someone who doesn't build muscle easily is watching that person, oh, this person was able to do this with this consistency in X days. Mm-hmm. So if I also do it, it'll work out for me. But the way your bodies work are different. So that alone might not give you the results you want in the number of days you want it.
Exactly. You know? So guys, if someone tells they are eating late and whatever, allow them.
Like, Sorry to cut.
Please continue.
But I saw, someone also came at me I was drinking soup with bread. It was like 10. The person came at me and no, you should be eating late. I'm like, this eating late debate, I've always wondered, because me like this, you know that I don't sleep early. So if I'm eating at 10 and I'm going to sleep like 4 a.m., won't I have used up the energy that I got from the thing?
It's not even,
you know, it doesn't.
Do you know I can eat right now and just go to bed? Which that's what
yes,
I know.
Yes, I read something from a personal trainer or something who was saying that eating late, it's not that this thing that we put around eating late is not true.
So let me tell you what my dad said about eating late. Guys, he has professional certification to say what he said. He says that the problem is not with eating late, it's with your habits. So him, for instance, like I said the last time, he plays tennis. He can eat as late as 12 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. Or 1 a.m. or whatever, how late. The moment he wakes up, he's probably going to the tennis courts, right? Or he can eat at 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. And when he wakes up and you sleep, but the whole morning, you'll be busy at work and you forget mm-hmm. to eat. So it is the energy from what he has eaten that carries him through the day.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time he's ready to eat again, that one is done. The problem comes with those of you who are getting big on food because of your eating habits. It's not because of the time you are eating, because of your habits. Or it's not because mm-hmm. of how many times you are eating. It's like if you've not used up the first energy, you've not worked, like you've not bent it one way or the other, and you keep adding on to the food. That's what is causing you to become big. It is not mm-hmm. the time, because me, I can, Miss Nan knows me. If I'm hungry, I'm not going to tell myself I don't eat. Miss Nan, would I?
No.
I could carry my car and go to places 2 a.m. one just to go and buy food and eat, because what's mm-hmm. life? And it's never food that is like healthy or whatever. I hardly eat those things anyways, because I'm not a big fan. I like proper food, like fufu and the rest. That's me. But I feel like I use up my energy most often than not. Even if I've slept right after bed, I'll probably wake up and ask me, I can actually, people can actually go days without eating. But the days you see them eating, they're eating so much that you are like, hey, you can eat too. So don't sit in your house and say that don't eat late at night, because if your premises for saying don't eat late at night is because when I eat late at night, I'll sleep right after. I can do that during the day, my dear.
Yeah, exactly. Like that argument is so flawed. Like, anyways, it's flawed.
The society now is flawed. The system is flawed. The constitution is flawed.
The thing is that we always want to be like, you want to be part of the in group. You don't want to be the other. So sometimes before anyone can give them, anyone can come and talk about you, you want to talk about something else. Put lines on someone else. Hey, this person is doing this thing in the way that we don't do it. So,
Yeah, and guys, Miss Nam, I'm sorry to cut you, but what I want to tell you guys is that you don't become great by following everybody. Look at Einstein. Look, like, you can never become great if you follow the crowd. You have to do things. You have to think outside the box. You have to strive to do better. If your mind is in that small box that everybody's mind is in, and you guys are going, and you don't stand out, where's the great? Yeah, so I'm trying to see. I hope I'm mentioning the name well,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know whether it's Lord. I don't know. It's okay. So there was this judge, right? And every time there was a ruling, you know that those courts that like you need more than two judges to make the ruling. Every time there was a ruling, he would be the odd one out. All the majority of the judges will say one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he would say no. He believes in the other. And everybody saw him as mad, like, as not correct. So, don't mind you. That's not what he say. And 2 years or 3 years later, they realized that judgment did at that time. That was mm-hmm. actually the one we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. right now, he's one of the most in fact, he's the most celebrated judge in the history of, I think, the UK or something.
Mm.
And that's because he didn't say that because everybody say A. I must say A.
Yeah.
If he was feeling in his chest, that's supposed to be B.
Exactly.
And at that time, so he was seeing, so it's like more or less he saw the future of judgments.
Yeah.
Right? And these people were still, so what you might be feeling is actually could actually be everybody's future in a few years to come. But you say because nobody is minding your people are looking at you like mad or something, you stick to it. I just don't think it's wise. So please don't sit on your greatness because of society, period.
I mean, what does society know if we think about it?
To be honest,
deep it, what do
you mean? To be honest, let's deep it, because if you weren't born here, you have different values and
right. Oh my God, this thing, very true.
Is that something for another day?
Very true.
Okay, guys. So self harm. Ms. Na, what do you think about getting addicted to self-harm?
I just think it must be a very long and painful road. Because in recent times, I've taken to, like, seeing the responses people give me and using that to find out whether I will tell them when things are bothering me or not. And for someone to get to the point where there's no one there that you can talk to, and the only way you can, you know, get out of what you're feeling, or the only way things can seem better is to cut yourself and all of those things. That is a very sad thing. That is a very difficult thing.
And not talk of the fact that you've gotten addicted to it.
Yeah.
You can't stop.
Yeah. So maybe right at that moment there's nothing wrong with you. There's no reason why, but like, you're bored. So, you know, why not do tic-tac-toe on your hand? Like, well, that's actually really sad.
Yeah, but looking at what the definition was from the beginning, it makes a lot of sense that they feel like that is how they can release stress in that moment. And then with time, they just can't stop. And that brings me to the next point, that while some people are disfiguring themselves, other people are so addicted to making themselves more plastic.
Which is also disfiguring.
One way or the other. So,
no,
yeah.
Sometimes when you look at these people who are obsessed with, like, plastic surgery.
You see, you just use the word obsessed.
Yeah.
So is it that we can use obsessed and addiction interchangeably?
Sometimes I feel like, because extreme obsession is also, you know, maybe in, like, context, they can work for each other. Yeah. But no, honestly, when you look at those people, their lips do not resemble anything, you know, normal anymore. And when I say normal, there's a huge range, because there are people whose lips look like one line. And there are people whose lips are very thick, that looks like, you know, bees have stung them. But then you've gone beyond that threshold, and now we cannot place you. And maybe you want to stand out, so, you know, who are we?
More grease to your elbows. Bored,
right? It's so, sometimes I wish there are people around them to talk to them and say, it's enough. And I wish they would listen. Because,
but you see, that's the thing with addiction.
Yeah.
You telling me it's enough doesn't make it enough.
To be honest. Because, like, if I'm addicted to it and then they are doing it and it looks good and poor, who can talk? You know, because if you tell me what, I'm like, I look good. But, like, your one bum is looking one type of way and then the other one is looking another type of way. And also, there are a lot of toxins being released into your blood. It's a lot.
I don't even know how you get addicted to plastic surgery. I've been trying to wrap my mind. Yeah, like, I'm trying to, because going under the knife is actually life threatening. Okay, but come think about it. If you're addicted to drugs, too, it's life threatening. Self harm is life threatening, but they still do it anyway. So I guess then my premise is baseless. But yeah. I don't know. Like, it doesn't... I don't know. I cannot wrap my mind around it, to be honest. So, guys, I just want you to know that it's not the things people get addicted to. Plastic surgery. And I'm sure you guys have seen it all around. Now, Ghanaians can want to adopt that culture of plastic surgery and getting addicted to it. I don't know why, but okay.
It's not just the plastic surgery they want. They want to get addicted to it.
Yeah. Hey. The only reason why we don't hear of their addiction is because they don't have money. You know, this country, we are all poor. Even the richest person in the country is still poor. One poverty is killing us one way or the other. It can be mental poverty, intellectual poverty, financial poverty. But these people, the ones who are doing the plastic surgery and they want to get addicted, they're just not getting the chance because financial poverty is not allowing them. That's the fact, so Miss Na, I'm telling you. Another addiction I can't get my mind around is gambling. I think I can get my mind around it because, I mean, if you can give small money and get big money, I mean, it's attractive. But after losing twice,
you see, the way they start you off, these gambling companies, they're really smart. They let you win a couple of rounds. You start feeling like, hey, I have luck on my side. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start to lose.
You see, it's like those Ponzi schemes.
Uh-huh.
When you do, after the first profit, stop. But greediness will make you become addicted to gambling.
Stop and go and start a new Ponzi scheme.
Yes. When you hear that the Ponzi scheme has spiked and you go invest your money, you say that's not to take your first profits, which is usually very, very big. You just don't do it again. If you another new one has come, you jump there.
But wait, with the Ponzi schemes, don't they have like, and the contracts contractually obliged to be there? Like, isn't there
no? So it's like with the bank, if I'm gonna open treasury bill or bonds right now, like the bank cannot force me to keep my money there. If I can remove it out anytime. Do you understand? So if an investment company or whatever comes and says they are doing this investment, like men's gold, well, everybody could have left at any time. But you see their greediness, so gambling is for greedy people. Once you get the first profit, second profit, you feel like, ha, let me bring more money so that I can get more than.
Because they've instilled that false sense of confidence in you that you can beat the system, you can beat the game.
No.
So when you lose one, you're like, oh, it's a fluke.
No, that's the greediness and the madness.
It's a fluke. I can make
when you gray, so like when every day they'll be saying people are addicted to gambling, they've lost everything. This man used to be very rich, he has lost everything to gambling. They can you not learn. If I go and gamble today and I get the money, I won't do it again. No. Till another time that they think I'm a newcomer. But the first time you lose, self, your eyes should clear. But no, that is how Squid Game is.
You lose, you're like, I came here with nothing and I've got. Maybe I came here with 10.
Miss Nah.
Now.
In fact, let's not go 70. Far.
Let me try and get there. Oh, I'm not defending. I'm just telling you why they do.
Yes. I'm just telling that I have a very clear example. People will understand this example better because a lot of people have not gone to casinos before to even guess what we are saying. Squid Game. It's a clear example of cha-cha. You play, they'll slap you. You keep playing because you also want to prove a point. Then when you win, you still want to prove some more points, so you go and join Squid Game. You see people shooting and dying. They said you want to stop. You stop and come back. Hey, oh here. If it was poor people that were gambling, I understand. But rich people, that's why I say it's greediness. So. It's greedy because you be so rich that you go and give everything away to gambling. Why? What more did you want?
You want to double it.
They should continue. Guys, I mean, all the addictions here, you can get addicted to any of them, but gambling, they remove it from your life, I beg you. Because I feel like it's if you tell me you're addicted to gambling, I just say I am very foolish. To be honest. Because when they won, like, when you didn't win first time, second time, third time, fourth time, what made you keep going back? I don't understand. Maybe I should gamble and see how it is. Because I don't understand. After losing my eye, I had a friend who used to do this betting thing, this football betting thing.
Yeah.
Hey, he started with 10 CDs, because for him 10 CDs is nothing. And he wasn't winning, no. But his friend won some 10,000 CDs from that thing. And he decided to stake higher. So they're taking 100 CDs, 200 CDs every week. And he was still not winning. And he told me you stop, but he wasn't stopping. Finally, he stopped because his eye cleared. So like it's foolishness.
So I'm like, to a point that you're like, hey, what if I give up today and then that's the day that my ajinkwa would have come?
Exactly. And that's how you'll be feeling all the time. That's how I be feeling. But like, it's just like I said, it's greediness. So you can just say, oh, ajinkwa or not, let me just forget and continue with my life. Because the money you win, crying, then you finish it again. Forget. So guys, that brings us to, I think, the end of addictions. I think we've done an extensive talk on addictions. I think we've actually even spoken about some other important issues that the addiction led us to. So we are happy we can be here for you. If you have addiction, issues, call +444. Okay, guys, this is serious. This is serious. If you have addiction issues, I don't know where you go to, because I've deactivated the Twitter account. But you have to go somewhere. So go to Miss Nas IG page and DM her so that we can find a way for you. We'll definitely try. So just go and DM Miss Nas. Okay. Hey. So is that name is?
No, the way you are saying this, as if I check my DMs. My friends will send me something. I'll see it after 2 weeks. And then I'll still shamelessly reply like, oh my God, that's funny. I will still shamelessly reply.
Then, guys, I don't know, but I feel like I should refer you to a movie where they give those lines. Because, you know, like those movies, like 13 Reasons Why, they'll say if you are feeling, you know, someone who is feeling to attempt suicide, call, you know, those things.
I hated that show, by the way. After the 2 episodes, I was like, this nonsense is not for me.
But guys, you know that because of peer pressure, I watched the whole thing. I even watched the season 2. I was really eager for the season 2. And I don't know why I was eager or anything, because it's not something I was enjoying. But it's like everybody else was watching. You see what peer pressure can do? And you know what? It's funny for me when I think about it. I don't get pressurized by serious things like, maybe we go and do this. But watching show, okay, it's because I like shows. Like, I like series and stuff. So I don't want to be, I don't want to tell someone I like series and they'll ask me, have you watched this popular one? Then I've not watched this. Oh, how?
Well, first, when it comes like that, I'll say, oh, me, when it's hot like that, I don't like watching it. I want to wait for everyone to be over it before I start.
Miss Nice, a liar. Guys, compulsive lying.
No, but it's true. Most of the time, I don't want to, especially with, like, series that people have made to see, like, sound good. I want everything to be there before I watch.
Well, I okay, I guess it. I guess you want it to pile up. You see, me, Ipo, patience is a virtue. So let's all learn to be patient. Immediate, Charlie. Let me watch it. And guys, you know that now that's
how we're watching. Releasing the series, if they don't release everything, we'll watch. Yeah, and but then their things will tank, and then they will no sense.
Do you know that, guys? When I watch the series now, as soon as they release them, you know those days when you're in uni and those things, the series, most of them are already done. But now that Netflix has become normalized and stuff, and they are releasing new series almost every year. Guys, I'll watch season 1 this year. Next year when they release season 2, I don't remember what happened in season 1.
I feel like Netflix should legit, like, have a little panel where they do, you know, the previous season in 60 seconds or 2 minutes, something to get you up to speed.
Because I mean, watching a whole year will come and pass before the season 2 will come. It's more than a year. How do you want me to remember?
Dear white people, I was watching the recent, apart from the too much singing, I was lost. Like, I don't remember half of the people.
Because I remember, like, I just feel like the characters have changed. I don't think it was them. Miss Now, was it them?
It was them.
Ah. But I feel like the storyline has totally changed.
This season, I don't know what was going on. I mean, like,
and they are having COVID in another, they are in the future and they are remembering the past. Because you know why that one cried? It doesn't make sense. You know, I've not been able to finish after like 2 episodes. Because it doesn't make sense, because we watched the one. And so whatever is happening after the future shouldn't be the one that we watched in the one. Like, the line doesn't even, the style doesn't make sense.
They did season 1, which was their first year, season 2, their second year, season 3, third year. So season 4, they are talking about their final year, but from the future.
You said, do you remember that I've watched 3 seasons already? Or I've not watched it. I don't even know again. So, guys, these are the issues. These are the issues arising, matters arising. All these things we should be discussing, because they are societal issues that are bothering us. They are bothering us. And Netflix is just wants to come and become a societal issue. Okay, guys, so we have to do the word of the day, right? Mm-hmm. Are you guys ready to learn a new word?
We are ready.
Oh, this word is too easy. Let me look for another one. Let me look for another one. Because you guys, you like big words. Oh, this is interesting. So, this word is pronounced adroit, like the French adroit. Yeah. But it's an English word, which means having or showing skill, cleverness or resourcefulness in handling situations.
Yeah.
Miss Na is such an English group, because when she's saying
I purposely learned it because of GRE.
Miss Na is learning new words. It's true. Yeah. So now you're an English group now. Oh, I should do January for fun so that I also know where to. Because, oh, but the podcast is helping me because now look at me being all bougie, saying things like Kubal. And I mean, when I see the words I said on the podcast in series and stuff, I feel so on top of the world. Yeah. I feel like, this is the word I was teaching people. See them using this. You know, guys, you know, you helped me a lot because under normal circumstances, I don't remember words I learned easily. But because I'm telling you people, and I love you guys so much, I keep remembering them. Like last time, we learned answered. I'm even starting to slur small, small because I was giving you guys proper pronunciation. Very soon, you guys hear me, you say, hey, this guy is Lafa. It won't be Lafa because I'll be traveling too. So you cannot say Akwa like locally. I went to Akwa in a week. Period.
We put too much of a complex on Lafa. If no one wants to speak with Lafa, so what? The person should be allowed.
No, but I'm just not. If I go, do you know that Ghanaians, we are not correct. If I travel to, let's say, the UK for a week and I come back and I start speaking like them. Why are you calling it Lafa? Because Lafa is locally a foreign accent. I went there for a week. I didn't acquire it locally, period.
I was talking to a friend about it and she's like, that thing is just low self-esteem because Kofi Annan worked in the UN and thus lived outside for ages and then he didn't have any Lafa. So anyone who goes and then gets an accent is just low self-esteem.
Oh my God. Kofi Annan didn't
want to.
Speak like them,
okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, like what should we do? I feel like she has a complex to think that if she decides to speak the way she wants to speak, it makes her have low self esteem.
Because if I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, and I want to speak with accent. If I'm hoping, does it take away from your hearing?
Exactly, as far as you can hear, does it takes a bit nicer to the ear. Okay, so address means having or showing skill, cleverness or resourcefulness in handling situations, period. So, I have adroit. That's an example. Miss Na can have adroit.
I know that's JB, but it's still morning.
my only aim is to always make myself look the best, period. Oh, no. So, Miss Na has adroit. So, you know, instead of saying, oh, you have skills, so say, hey, you have address, so let them know that everybody asks where you, let's say, oh, I listen to a certain podcast, let them say which podcast, then you tell them, so they can also come and enrich their grammar, because you cannot be listening to this podcast and lack vocabs.
Period.
On this note, we say, all menzymes, please have address, and what? Au revoir, Miss Nadat's on.
Periona.
Bye.